Are there? There are. No. From the dead, the Padded Room Podcast is on the air. My name is Darian. Who is this guy sitting in front of me right now?
Who could it possibly be?
There's multiple mics.
It's one of them.
One of them?
It's one of them. Post-Halloween, you never know.
That's true. I hear the multiple pendulum swings pretty heavy around about Halloween.
The pendulum swings. The pendulum swings, period. But yeah, Halloween, it really gets into motion.
What's up with you, man? You're looking well.
Well, thank you, for one. For two, staying busy. Staying very busy.
There you go. What are you staying busy with? What are you doing?
Well, I got, you know, the movie that we're doing.
The Super Secret Project? Is that what you're talking about? Super
Secret Project. That's why we don't talk about
it. That's right.
But it's a movie.
Okay. It's
officially a movie. That's fun.
No, it's not. And I'm going to have to edit that whole shit out. So thank you very much for that.
Editing process, man. Takes a lot longer.
What else is going on, man?
School action.
School?
Yeah, first time taking 12 credits. Last two semesters, I took 6 each. Nailed it. Got confidence. It's 12 credits, man.
Got confidence?
Yeah, got confidence going into this semester.
Very cool.
This 12 credits is driving me insane.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I took a week off. I didn't do a show last week. Want to know why?
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Spartan Race.
Oh, this is Sparta!
Son of a bitch. Back-to-back Spartan races. I'm never doing that again, man. I'll tell you right now.
Did you do a spear throw this time?
I did, twice.
And did you learn from last time?
Yeah, well, they fucking... don't get me started on the goddamn spear throw, man.
Well, they had some kind
of set
up or something you were telling
that
me
that game is rigged, okay? Now, I took Crackhouse Matt's advice. I did some research. I looked at some clips on YouTube and got a good idea of how to throw a fucking spear. I get there. I get to the spear throw that they have planned and all set up and ready to go. They have the goddamn things tethered to, like, a gate that you stand in front of, throwing the balance of the spear completely off. Now, at the Vegas one, the one that I threw like a girl, they just had a shit ton of spears.
Right.
So you just grab one, wing it, and then stick it. You don't stick it, whatever. You move on. This time, they had like 4 spears, so everybody has to get in line. You throw it, and then stick it, don't stick it, whatever. You then have to pull the tether, the rope that's attached to the spear, back so that the next guy can throw it.
And does the guy that throws it, or the girl that throws it, or whoever throws it, have to get it back for the next guy?
Yeah.
That throws it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, that's horse shit. Now,
so that wasn't like the videos that you watched at all?
No, because they all had spears that were just without... These ropes attached.
Well, that's what you get for taking the advice from somebody who sells crack houses for a living.
That's true. I don't know what I'm doing listening to that guy. He even gave the disclaimer that he didn't even know what he was talking about at the end.
Well, there you go. All right, he covered his ass.
He starts the email off with, "I am a spear throwing expert." Then he gives me 25 steps on how to correctly throw a spear, and then finalizes it with, "I don't know if this is going to work or not."
Beautiful.
You're fucking asshole, Crackhouse Matt.
Love you,
fucking
Matt.
Fucking asshole.
Keep selling them crack houses.
God damn. Good news, though. I don't have to have surgery this time. No torn ligaments or anything like that. I do have some bruised ribs. That's a son of a bitch. But
well, the bucket carry.
What about it?
The bucket carry. That probably got you in there, no?
Well, yeah, and that was after the rib bruising experience.
What was the most rib bruising experience?
They got this new obstacle, son of a bitch. It's basically, I believe that's what it's called, son of a bitch.
It's a son of a bitch rib bruiser.
It's three logs. They are about, I'd say, 4 to 5 feet apart, and they vary in heights. It's like you're going up a stepladder. First one's about 3 feet off the ground. Second one's about 6 feet off the ground. Third one's about 9 feet off the ground. And you have to traverse these three logs without touching the ground. Now, being the engineering gentleman that I am, I stood back and watched a few people. In front of me is this huge black guy, and he just runs up these fucking logs like they're a flight of stairs. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Took him. I mean, other people are struggling with this. They like get up and then straddle the log. And
how far apart are these logs?
I'd say about 4 to 5 feet.
And each one's the same distance.
Yeah, and that's the careful way to do it, but it's taken him forever. This black guy was up and over in no time, so I'm thinking that's the route I'm going to go. I didn't take into account that it's pouring rain as I'm doing this. So I just I get a run at it. First log, no problem. Second log, no problem. Go to leap off the second log. My foot slips, and instead of getting the altitude that I need to clear the third log, I just smack my ribs right into it. And then, like a bug hitting a windshield, I then fall backwards right onto my back, 9 feet, and a good 9 foot drop there.
And then at the end, there's a 9 foot drop that you got to jump off of.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the wise man would take this slowly and then kind of lower himself down from the last log. But I saw this big black guy do it, and I'm thinking that's the way for me. And then the kicker is, after I smack down on the ground, I lay on the ground doing one of these, almost like that grape stomping lady.
Yep,
yeah, then the wind knocked out of you.
That was me. Everybody's like, "Oh shit, are you okay?"
I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was terrible. That's like 20 minutes off my time right there. Just me, you know, hunched over off to the side.
What is the big deal with time? Like, do you get a special medal? Like, if you get a certain...
No, place, it's just people...
It's just like Spartan Pride kind of thing?
Yeah, just people trying to beat previous records and things right. like that, which I actually did. I shaved about 10 minutes off my Vegas time, so that's cool.
So you showed me the shards that you got.
Yeah,
you
I posted a picture of them, yeah.
Next one is going to be a green one.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it though.
Oh,
they reset those after every calendar year. And what do we got? 2 months left in 2014. I'm not going
to
make it.
So you're going to have to get another one that goes in that bottom right.
I'll just make my own. I think. Make it out of cardboard or something. Paint it green with some crayons.
Well, hey, I got a nice little shard from that Mud Factor deal.
Well, that was a metal. That wasn't a shard.
Well, it's a metal shard.
Yeah, that's shaped still cool.
Like a skull.
You did the mud fa- Oh, yeah, it was shaped like a skull, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What'd you think of that?
It was fun.
It was, right?
It was, you know, obviously lighter weight than the Spartans or the Tough Mudders, but it was fun.
Yeah? Do you have fun throwing mud at my mom?
Yeah. She's up there cheering. Well, here's the Mud Factor for you.
She's up there minding her own business, having a cup of coffee. Here comes this raving lunatic running through the mud, flinging mud at her.
And then I got roped into doing it again because
Dale.
Yeah.
That was kind of embarrassing.
Dude. Well, he made it, dude.
I know. It's just fucking... I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking by signing him up for that. You know, I'm basically just setting him up for failure. It's so much fun watching him do it, though. Oh, I'm an asshole. Oh. All right. Let's cut the crap here. We got some horror news and such.
Horror news.
Sure. How about this action? Clive Barker has sent the second draft of his Hellraiser reboot to the Weinsteins. Are you ready for a Hellraiser reboot?
Yeah, and Weinsteins know how to get it done right.
Yeah, and I mean, if they're going to be behind it, we can expect a fucking ginormous budget. Right.
Well, if they can make a black and white movie like The Artist win an Oscar, I can't wait to see what they can do for Clive Barker's work.
Yeah, but I mean, they've done a lot of shit movies too. So it's really, all they do is distribute and pony up the price tag. But still, that's good stuff if that goes down, right? Mm-hmm. I'll take a Clive Barker reboot. I read online that it's actually going to start with the toy maker, Le Marchand, and then go follow more his course of events there.
Interesting.
I'm into it. I'm into the mythology. I've been staying up on the comic, the graphic novels. I don't know that they can go quite that direction because there's some pretty, it gets pretty Night of the Living Dead on you there towards the end. But still pretty good stuff. What else we got here? Julian and Alexandra Bustillo. You know those names?
Bustillo sounds familiar.
You ever seen a movie called Inside? French film?
No.
Fucking brutal as shit. Has to do with a pregnant lady. They are going to be directing the upcoming Leatherface prequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel. I mean, I like these two guys. I don't know. Is that a guy and a girl? I don't even know. They do good work. Inside was fucking gnarly. But I don't know if I'm on board with a Leatherface prequel that's supposed to be centered around his early teen years. I don't know if I need that, dude.
Is Arlie Ermey going to be in it?
Doubt it. I think they're doing Sawyer Leatherface, not Hewitt Leatherface.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know about that shit, man. I mean, it could be brutal or it could be tweeny, and I don't feel like we need a tweeny Leatherface. What else we got here? God and the Devil to appear in Prometheus 2. Leaks Noomi Rapace.
Did you see the first Prometheus yet?
I did. Not mad at it.
I loved it.
Not mad at it at all, but I'm pretty gay. Stories
for the alien.
Yeah, I'm pretty gay for Idris Elba. So
he's hot.
He's good stuff.
He's a hot actor.
He's pretty good times. And he did bang Charlize Theron in that one too, which is takes it to a whole other level.
Did you put yourself inside Idris in that scene?
I tried to. Well, I mean, we had all the religious ramifications of the first one, right? Because I mean, in the subtext, I think that what they were trying to say was that Jesus Christ was one of the engineers. They sent him to Earth as an emissary. Did they
ever use the word Jesus Christ?
No, but you did get the picture of the crucified guy with the halo.
Right.
They sent him to Earth as an emissary, and we crucified him. So the next step was to send the xenomorphs down to wipe us out. But the xenomorphs got fucking sidetracked or took over that ship that was carrying them, and then that's where that is. So I could say I like the cross between science and religion.
Yeah, it had a nice balance
it always between
evolution
me.
And religion, for sure. Especially like in the very beginning where those aliens put themselves into the water.
Yeah. You
remember that?
Yeah.
They'll start the gene pool there.
And then the albino dude, gets all black and kind of crumbles to shit. Scary stuff, dude. Yeah. Scary stuff. How did you feel about The Crow? Have you seen The Crow?
Not for a long time. I hear good things. I might need to watch it again.
You've never seen it? Or you've seen it...
If I have, I haven't seen all the way through.
It's good times.
Doing the trench coat, right?
Good times, yeah, with the face paint, doing backflips and such. Throwing a kick or two. we've got a Crow reboot in the works here. It's going to be directed by Javier Gutierrez. Don't know what he is or what he's doing. And starring Luke Evans. I think I'm on board with Luke Evans.
What else has he been in?
He was recently in Dracula Untold.
You see that one?
I wanted to
see it. We were supposed to see it together.
I wanted to see it so bad. Super secret project got in the way.
It's your fault.
Had a baby. Can't take the baby. See the Dracula. There's a law against that, I think, or something. No babies in Dracula. Nope. I'm psyched for it, though, man. I like The Crow. Some of those later films really took a shit.
How many sequels were there?
I believe there's four in total, and the last one had Edward Fatlong as the Crow. I don't know whose ass that fat bastard is going to kick, but I don't see that happening at all.
Is his name really Fatlong?
No, that's what I call him because he's a fat bastard. Hey, Furlong, how about a Spartan race or two, you fatty?
Well, it's tough to go four sequels. For me, Saw is one of the greatest, running series for me, because I made it to like the fourth one.
Yeah.
Before I really started giving up on the damn thing. The
fourth one, easily the weakest in my opinion. Third and the fourth tied probably for weakest for me. I'll check it out. Either way, I'm getting a gay man crush on Luke Evans. He was also in a movie called No One Lives. Have you ever heard of that one?
Nope.
Bad motherfucker right there. Dig this. Backwoods hillbillies kidnap a well-to-do couple, and they're going to, you know, torture them and rape them and all that shit. Turns out this well-to-do couple is into some torturing and raping of their own, and some shit goes down.
And oh, they flipped it on them.
Dude, there's like, I mean, I'm just going to say that there are punches. There's a punch, and I believe there was a roundhouse also. Watch out for the roundhouse, Luke. It's craziness. What else we got here? Oh, some good news. Rob Zombie's 31. Have you heard of this?
I keep hearing teasers.
Crowdfunded. it's going to be centered on and around the holiday of Halloween. Apparently, that, factually speaking, is the night in which most people go missing. So basically, the premise of the movie is that people are being abducted in a purge-like situation and then forced to compete in this kind of blood sport type of thing where they're being hunted by killers. Crowdfunded project. The good news is that he has met his goal and is now headed to AFM, whatever that is, for distribution. So it looks like we are going to get to see 31 after all.
What is the number 31?
Halloween, symbolized October 31st, yeah. Good stuff. I kicked down a little bit for that one, so I'll be getting a 31 Blu-ray whenever that happens.
There you go.
Probably sometime 2023, in that area. That's all I got on the horror news, man. You got anything?
I'm sure you already talked about it. New Insidious.
Chapter 3.
Yeah, did you see the trailer?
I did.
The way they do tiptoe through the windows?
Yep.
Woo!
Dermot Mulroney.
Cannot wait.
Or is it Dylan McDermott?
I don't know.
Dylan McDermott Mulroney? I don't know. There's like six guys with the Dermot Mulroney, Dylan McMulroney thing going on. Who are these fucking people? Go back to Ireland. No, it looks good, though. You can't really get too much out of the previews, though. I mean, you get like the usual, you know, creaky footsteps and all that shit, but you don't really see the Bride in Black. I was led to believe that it was going back to the spider guy, the spider demon, whatever, Darth Maul, that dude.
Right. Well, but, yeah, they do that close-up of the red door.
Yeah. You know, I don't know, though. It might be somebody else behind that fucking thing.
The second one, the way the second one was done, and it's been a while since a sequel like that, in my opinion, has rivaled, if not beat, the original.
I'd say
I cannot wait for this one.
I'm psyched. I'm ready to go on that. I'm ready to go. Let's do some listener mail.
Mail time.
See how many dick pics we got this week.
Listener mail.
Emails, voicemails, the usual smorgasbord. Let's start it off with Lonely Bob. Kevin, my main man in Tokyo, Japan.
Konnichiwa.
Subject line, station wagons. You ever notice when you watch a film from the 70s that they're just lousy with station wagons?
They can be.
Where has the station wagon gone?
It's gone the way of the Woody.
I have a Woody right now.
Nobody likes to drive wooden cars anymore.
Were there ever wooden cars? I don't know.
Yes.
Are you talking about those cars with the nasty wood paneling on the sides?
Yeah.
Those things were hideous. Why would you want to give anybody the idea that you're driving a car made out of wood? It's even worse. Drive a car made out of wood while smoking a cigarette. People are going to run for their lives. Hey, Darian. Cutting off your arm isn't a thing. The thing is losing a finger. That indicates you're a Yakuza member. Losing a finger shows you're able to withstand pain, but without removing the use of your hand. By the way, the other thing that Yakuza are known for are big tattoos. So tattoos have become a taboo in Japan as well. See, we're having this discussion about the Yakuza. Apparently, if you're in Japan and you're missing a finger, it means you're a Yakuza member.
Like, automatically?
That's, you know,
it's one of the signs. The
stereotype that people jump to if they see you got a digit off. So, if you're just a lazy shop teacher who likes to drink on the job, and you got, like, you know, these two fingers going on.
You just accidentally cut off your finger.
Yeah, I mean, does that mean you're either a loser or a really serious badass? I don't know, but Kevin's clearing this up for us. Station wagons were huge in the 1980s also, but they've pretty much died off. Here's a great article talking about why their popularity and why it had gone downhill. He's got a link for me here. And then getting into the Terradome, Jigsaw versus the Wishmaster. Jigsaw is a genius that planned out death traps in multiple locations. Vote goes to Jigsaw. Blind Dead versus the Infected. Infected would overrun the Blind Dead. Vote goes to Infected. Do we dare give multiple mics a vote in this contest?
Do you want me to straight up tell
Let's
you right now?
Let's do it. Let's do it. What do you got?
It's going to be Gin.
You taking the Gin?
Yeah, because Jigsaw is a tortured torturer.
Thank you.
You know.
What do you got in teams?
Infected. All take the way. Infected. If they infect the Blind Dead, then the Blind Dead will turn infected as well and fight for them.
Well, the Blind Dead are already dead, though, so there's really no risk of infection. But hey, it's your logic. Whatever you say, buddy. Kevin, thanks for writing in, dudes. Who's up next here? Ermagish. Now, did you do your guest spot on Ermagish?
I did not. I had to cancel. I was so pissed.
You canceled on Gersh?
Yeah.
You were supposed to do a guest spot on I Hate Your Face.
Caleb stayed with me at my mom's, you know.
Right.
And so I wanted to go on Gersh's and just let loose, tell everybody how I hate their fucking faces. But then Caleb was there watching us shoot the scene last night.
Right.
He got a little bit more of daddy's action, so I didn't need him waking up in the morning with, fuck all of you!
I'm going to train Deacon to wake up to fuck all of you. Maybe I'll put that on his alarm clock or something.
Love it, broski.
Gersh, subject. Oh, no subject line. House's October Built must be an episode in its own. Witching and bitching would make a great immersion therapy. Anything but the town that dreaded sundown. Shame on you, Darian. That was pretty rough. Have you seen The Town That Dreaded Sundown?
Yes, I watched it a long time ago on YouTube, man. Fucking horrible. Absolutely horrible. Potato sack for a fucking head, right?
I like that. That was probably one of the only redeeming factors of this movie was the creepy breather. But dude, come on. You're killing the chick by tying a knife to her trombone and then tromboning her to death.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, fuck.
You gotta be kidding me there, Sundown. Terradome picks Jigsaw over the Djinn. You got it. Blind Dead over the Infected. Deuces! Hey, thanks for writing in there, Gersh. Your votes are locked in. On a funny side note, we were talking last night that there is a Spartan race in Montana. A beast, even. So
Beast of a Spartan race.
What did they say? Lake Flathead or something like that? Gersh, get with me if you know of a Lake Flathead. And we'll be in touch. Maybe we can go up there and do it with you. Up next, Kreese. Hey, we haven't heard from Kreese in a while.
No?
Kreese. Yeah. Good times. I missed you, babe. Subject line, so I've been lazy.
There we go.
Well, that explains that. I'm behind on my correspondences for no good reason. So, Twin Peaks. It is a bizarre series that lasted for 2 seasons and ended on a cliffhanger. Did you ever wonder what David Duchovny would look like as a woman? Twin Peaks answers that. I've never wondered that, so I don't think that I care. Did you ever watch the Twin Peaks or no?
No, but I watched Californication a lot.
Okay.
David Duchovny's good.
Yeah, he's good in X-Files. He's really good in Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those episodes.
An 11-year-old Darian used to get down. Used to abuse himself ruthlessly.
To some David Duchovny.
To some Red Shoe Diaries. It's one that is worth the time you put in, but very hard to describe properly. That's usually the case with David Lynch movies. So I feel you on that. I might check it out just, you know, because I like David Lynch, but I don't know if I have time to run through 2 seasons. Immersion therapy, Trap for Cinderella. So I liked it for reasons. Was it a horror movie? Was the ending predictable? Of course it had to be. Was it a horror movie? Not according to the Hulu synopsis. Of course it wasn't the worst assignment lately. Did you get to watch Trap for Cinderella?
No, wouldn't have
it out. You know, it was a good show. I wouldn't consider it a horror movie, even though Rue Morgue did give it a glowing review. But I'm feeling you on that, Crease, and we'll get more into that in immersion therapy. The Town That Dreaded Sundown slept right through that business. Wasn't compelled to finish it. Yeah, don't worry about it, sweetie. Kate Beckinsale-themed water park was imagined because of the thought of her in wet leather, and we called it the Kate Beckinslide. I remember that. Terradome. I said it last time. Jin is easily defeated by witty people. Jigsaw wins that. I think I know which way that's going. My vote goes to The Rage Infected for this one because I watch more of one genre than the other. Yes, it is. I can vote like that. That seems to be the way most people are going also. And that was Crease.
Thanks, Crease.
Crease, a few things, babe. Number one, you don't owe us anything, so if you don't write in, then you don't write in. There is literally about half a dozen people that listen to this show in total. There's like three of you that actually take the time to write in. So don't worry about that, man. If you feel like doing it, do it. If not, then...
I mean, we cover the whole Pacific Ocean.
We do. We got
From Crease to Tokyo.
So, I don't know. Maybe there's a guy on a boat out there with an iPod.
Bedroom?
Oh, boy. I'm going to try to catch a shark later. That was it for the emails. Let's rock out to some voicemails here. Let's see who we got on the old voicemail line. Looks like somebody got GP'd here. I think this is Alan. But I could be wrong.
It's GP.
Oh, it's GP.
Hope everybody had a good Halloween. Mine was fairly decent. I hope Little Deacon didn't scare too many people that badly. all right, down to business.
Down to business.
Terradome.
We got
Jigsaw versus the Djinn. I am going with Jigsaw, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
I actually took the opportunity to watch the entire Saw series.
Oh, look at you.
Darren, you made your argument was, to me, actually, earlier, was he was a normal guy. He was a normal guy until he lost his kid, and that's
correct.
What I got. Well, you were kind of wrong on two counts. Not saying that you were, like, you know, wrong, but,
you're wrong!
One, he's like a super genius.
Right.
And two, it wasn't really his kid, losing his kid that flipped the switch in his head. It was when he was diagnosed with that inoperable cancer.
Right.
And he decided to just off himself and kind of fuck that up and came up with the idea of what would you do to survive.
Right, but...
He might be tempted to... if the Djinn says he was curious cancer. But the thing is, with Jigsaw, his big thing is you live and die by the choices that you make,
correct,
by the path that you walk. And you can't go backwards. You can only make it better by going forwards and making new decisions, new choices. And the other thing with him is you got to play by the rules.
Right.
And to have the Djinn say, all right, I can take this cancer... He'll consider that, like, cheating. So it's... Jigsaw, there is, like, so much going on inside of his head. He sees things so far ahead. Like, he plans stuff for stuff when after he died. And he sees every angle. So he can see... I can tell he can see through the Djinn. That's what I'm saying. That's what it is, and that's it.
Yeah,
so the Djinn, or it'll be Jigsaw over the Djinn.
Gotcha.
Teams... Fuck, infected over to Blind Dead.
Yeah.
Version therapy, I forget what the fuck it was, but I saw the synopsis or whatever
synopsis.
The thing on Netflix.
Okay.
I want to blow my head off just reading that.
So oh, come on now, GP.
And that would be it. I will talk to you again later. Bye.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, now,
in the Saw movies, hold on, let me just say
it. Let me get into this.
Sorry, my place. There's a flower in my hair.
What?
I don't know.
Did you just say there was a flower in your hair?
There was, until I got my hair cut.
All right, let's hear it.
In the Jigsaw movies that you watched all the way through.
Right.
GP. Did he ever come across anything in another realm? Darian.
Nay.
No. So he would not have been able to prepare for the tricksies of the djinns.
That's a very silly way of putting what I was just going to say.
Thank you.
There's a GP, you made a very compelling argument. However, the reason I sway towards the djinn, and I'm going to quote Chris Rock on this one, a man is only as honest as his opportunities. Now, in the world of Jigsaw and the Saw franchise, there is no supernatural. So I feel you on that. However, I think that given the actual plausible opportunity to go back, configure his life and his timeline, he would jump on it, dude. I think he would say, cure this cancer, bring back my kid, and not have that crackhead hit my wife in the stomach with a doorknob. That's what I'm saying. You make a wish and you're fucked, and that's what I think he would do. So there you go. But your votes are in and they count, so you're entitled to your own opinion there, GP. He called back, so I'm guessing he's pretty upset about something. That's usually what that means. Maybe he got around to watching that immersion therapy after all.
And another thing.
Oh, boy.
I forgot. When it comes to Jigsaw, John Kramer defeating the djinn.
Yeah.
I was thinking that if some prehistoric camel jockey can come up with a trap to take care of the djinn, I'm pretty sure John Kramer could come up with something to lock him up. And so then he wins. That's it. So I say, so it shall be. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Just had to put some icing on the cake there, GP. Is that what you're doing? Well, I'm just saying, I think, all right, I've already made my argument. I don't need to get back into that. here comes Alan, I think.
Padded room. What's up? Hope everybody had a good Halloween. Hope Deacon enjoyed his first one. I know he's just a little guy. But I hope he had fun. Let's see. I hope y'all have fun. Hope all the listeners have fun.
Hope you had fun.
Terradome GP gave me a very compelling argument, so I'm going to go with Jigsaw. And in teams, I'm going to go with the Infected. see. Werewolf stuff. I decided to do my Friday walk-in in a Michael Myers mask. and pretty much boiler suit, whatever. That was it was interesting. I don't know if I'll ever do the thing in the mask again. But, you know, it was entertaining. I enjoyed the looks I got. Anyway, that's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Very cool, Alan. Thanks for calling in, dude.
But you and GP are both wrong.
Well, first off, GP is out campaigning, apparently, for Jigsaw. Which is fine if that's what you want to do. You bring up a good point about the mask, Alan. Any kind of cardio you're going to do in a mask, be it Michael Myers, gas mask, whatever you can think of, it's actually better for you because it's going to regulate your breathing. If you want to get super high speed with it, they actually have a training mask you can buy in which you can kind of adjust the level of resistance to the air intake. It's basically meant to simulate elevation, and it looks pretty badass too. You look like Sub-Zero or something when you're running around with it. I don't really need it over here though. What are we at, 6,000 feet above sea level, something like that?
Yeah, five or six.
So we got all the elevation we need. But yeah, dude, I mean, try not to get shot, you know. And don't wear the mask into the liquor store when you're going to pick up a six-pack. But if you feel so compelled, go ahead. Put the mask on and try not to scare the neighbors. Or go ahead and scare them. I don't care. That's all we got on the listener mail, man. Mike, you got anything for Alan, GP, Irma Gersh, Kreese, or
yeah,
Kevin?
Yeah, be careful about wearing that Michael Myers mask around, because I saw a prank video a couple Halloweens back about how some dudes were doing that and filming the Michael Myers. And like there was one scene where Michael Myers was just standing there.
Yeah.
And this dude like pulls out a knife and starts chasing him. He's like, "No, no." Well, Michael Myers doesn't do that, but
no.
Yeah. be careful out there.
Some people just don't know how to take a joke. That's all there is to it, man. All right, dude, let's get into a movie here, shall we? Oh, gee, do we have to?
I'll stay with you with my body and my senses. Until someone comes and destroys my heart.
Barbara Steele, in an original and passionate interpretation of the double role of Muriel and Jenny. One woman with two faces, or two women with the same face, but profoundly different. A fearful doubt, a sinister enigma, which becomes an obsessive nightmare. Victim of the sorcery of a merciless and diabolical sadist.
About last night, it wasn't just an hallucination. It was something unreal and mysterious. And when I was in bed, I knew I was with you when I heard the heart.
A film that will take your breath away, that will hold you spellbound.
Yep, that's
it. Where the trailer is.
That's the end of your trailer, buddy.
Oh, boy.
You like that shit?
Oh, boy.
Here it comes. Talking about Nightmare Castle from 1965, starring Barbara Steele, Paul Mullen, and Helga Linné. Directed by Mario Chiaino and written by Mario Chiaino and Fabio De Agostini.
Italian.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because it appears to be dubbed in English.
Yeah.
Except if you watch them, it looks like they're speaking English.
A lot of it comes out like it's like English.
Yeah, like the lips are moving in sync with the words.
That didn't sound like the right word.
I don't know, man. Somebody
maybe it was Italian. I mean, it was shot in Italy.
So that's probably what it was. So
maybe it was brought over here.
Somebody told me that,
made into American.
All Italian movies from the 1960s weren't shot with sound. They had to just shoot the film and then go back and dub the sound in later. So
maybe
they were all
trying
dubbed.
To do more English over there, and these Italian blokes making this movie.
They don't have blokes in Italy. That's England, dude. Alrighty, so your movie starts off with what appears to be some kind of a mad scientist type character. He's got himself a laboratory in a very palatial estate, and he's got a pretty hot little number for a wife there. She comes down to the lab, and she's had a few cocktails, and she's like, I wish you didn't have to go tonight. And he's like, I have to present some stuff. And she's like, but I wanted to spend the night with you. I kind of miss the 60s dialogue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, as much as you laugh at it, the melodramata.
Just love it. Just love it.
It's so beautiful.
You get a lot of that in Vincent Price movies. Yeah. A lot of, come here, damn you, I want to make love to you. What? What? No! You're my wife, and I'll do as I please. You know what my wife would do to me if I went in there and laid that on her? She'd probably throw the baby at me. So she comes down. She's like trying to get him to stay. He's like, no, I can't. He goes back upstairs and he gets his carriage guy, a guy by the name of David. I guess this dude's in charge of the horses or something, but he brings the carriage around. And David's a pretty strapping individual. You know, he's got like the vest on and some swashbuckling type of hair and all that nonsense. Gets the scientist dude, I believe his name was Steven, gets Steven all loaded up in the carriage with all of his equipment and stuff and sends him on his way. Now, I could have told you right there on the spot. As soon as that guy takes off, that whore wife of his is going to fuck the David the stable boy.
Well, he was treating her like shit.
Well, I mean, come on, man. She comes down there and she's already halfway hammered. And she's proclaiming how horny she is. And then she just, you know...
And he wants nothing to do with it, so he takes off on his carriage.
He takes off. So that's all right. So sure as shit, as soon as his carriage is out of sight, they start with the, you know, the piano music and the kissing. And they did that thing that you saw in a lot of 60s movies.
That first kiss that she gets in.
Just kind of, it's like imagine if, like, David had gone blind and couldn't find her mouth with his lips. So it was just like messing around with her ear and her cheek and stuff, trying to find the mouth hole.
Well, they were drunk, or she was drunk too. So maybe.
But come on, man. Are you horny, or do you just want to fuck around? Because that's all you're doing right now is fucking around. So yeah, sure enough, they go down and they're about to have a, presume they're either going to have sex or they're just going to dry hump in the solarium. They're down there. They're getting all heated and, you know, when are you going to leave him? And he means nothing to me. And you don't still love him, do you? No, of course not. And then sure as shit, who walks in from behind the trees? The scientist guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's fucking pissed because obviously his whore wife is cheating on him. So he kind of goes war machine on him and slaps David down with what appears to be a riding crop of some sort. I don't know. And then David, he slaps the wife down too, right? But she doesn't.
I don't remember exactly how that fight went.
Well, he slaps the David and he gets like a huge gash and he's bleeding and shit. And then cut to they both wake up and they're chained up in the, like some kind of a dungeon.
Right.
So then Steven comes out and he starts telling her what a whore she is. And David's like, leave her alone, you son of a gun or whatever. And then we get a dialogue and we get some pretext here that basically says that she is the heir to this big palatial place and all the money is hers. Now, Steven's plan is to kill them both and inherit her money. Problem is that she recently changed her will to include her crazy sister Jenny. So if she dies, Jenny's going to get everything. So what Steven proposes is that he'll let them both go if she changes the will or gives him the will or changes it back to him. Now, this didn't make any sense to me because if she's still alive, he ain't getting shit, right? That's what the presumption I was on. So
she's going to have to die.
Right, but we got to find that fucking will first. So, we get a very ridiculous torture situation where there's a lot of slapping and, you know, I'll never tell you. Tell me where it is, damn you. Slap, slap, slap. And then David's chained up next to her and he's like, leave her alone, you son of a bitch. And then we basically they lose conscious again. We wake up and she is now chained to a bed and David is chained via like an ankle bracelet to a chair. Now, the bed is positioned underneath what appears to be some kind of an acid dripping device, and the acid is slowly dripping onto her. That sucks. She's like howling in pain. About that time, David manages to get loose from the chair, but there's still the chain link coupling holding him to the chair. So him being in love with the wife, Muriel, jumps on top of her so that the acid will hit him. As soon as he does that, you see Dr. Steven throw a switch, and I guess the implication was that it electrified them both, electrocuted them. But really, all you got was a bunch of weird light flashes and then some smoke, and that was it. All right, so now they're both dead. From there, we get to meet the maid, Solange. Now, at this point, Solange appears to be, what, early 60s, I'd say? Elderly lady, for sure. She comes in and she's like, what's going on? And he's like, I killed them both. We can finally be together. I'm thinking, what the fuck is this shit? She's like old enough to be his grandma. And, you know, Steven, despite the fact that he's a murderer, is still a pretty handsome and well-to-do individual. All right, easy enough. Whatever you're into there, Steven, not my thing. You want to bang grandmas, it's on you. From there we get like a montage of like this weird laboratory thing going on and he's like carving people up and you don't really see what he's doing, but at one point he removes a heart from a corpse and places it in this weird solution. It's like a fish tank kind of an apparatus. He then takes the fish tank and places it inside one of the walls in the house via the, I guess it was like a family emblem plaque thing. Kind of like a wall safe type situation. You got to twist the plaque and then it comes open and then he slides it in there and then he puts the plaque. So it looks like there was never anything there. Very cool. I don't know what you're doing with this heart, dude, but whatever. Now from there, we cut to presumably a few weeks later or maybe even a few months. I don't fucking know. We see the outside of the house. Dr. Steven comes rolling up in his carriage and he's got a new young lady with him. Now this one is actually Jenny. Muriel's crazy sister. I think at this point what he was under the presumption was that he needed her to maintain his funding. So, because once Muriel died, presumably all the funds would go to Jenny. So he rolls up with Jenny. Now Solange, the maid, comes out and she is now like a fucking banging 22-year-old. What the hell's going on there? I don't know just yet, but we'll find out later. She comes out and she's like, oh, you're back. And then he goes on to explain that he and Jenny just got married that morning and that, you know, all this stuff is hers and they're going to be happy now and blah, 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 blah. Very cool. We get inside, we get Jenny situated, and then we have an exchange between Solange, the now hot maid, and Dr. Steven. Basically, what we find out is that they have actually been having sexual congress during this time frame, and the plan is to drive Jenny insane there in the castle, or the mansion. Thus, she'll be committed to some kind of a mental institution, and Steven will then gain control of the family fortune. Makes sense. Apparently, Solange needs, like, either blood transfusions or some kind of fucking process with people that have died. Did you get anything on that?
Well, I assume that's where the liver, the heart went to, or whatever he was putting in the,
So you're thinking she stays young because the heart is still...
Because he was giving her younger things.
So just younger blood, or... Because the heart comes into play later.
Right, so, but I mean, that's later, but like in the meantime, what we don't see, you mentioned something about getting a younger blood transfusion too.
Yeah.
Something like that, so maybe the doctor's like just rounding up local
youngins. Toughs.
Yeah.
Hey, give me that blood there. I've got to keep this chick hot. She gets pretty old quick. So that's kind of weird. We get Jenny up there. We get her situated. Now, at this point, Solange and the doctor start slipping Jenny like weird hallucinogenics in her food. Or some kind of drug. I'm assuming they're hallucinogenics. And what this leads to is a series of nightmare sequences in which Jenny is basically reliving the murders of her sister and her sister's lover, Muriel and David. You know, big nightmares, always waking up in the middle of the night, freaking right out. The nightmare sequences themselves are basically Muriel and David being murdered, but she can't quite make out who the murderer is.
It's a dude in a white suit.
Yeah,
that's all it is, with a bunch of flashes in your face.
Now, one of these nightmare sequences was clearly supposed to be in slow motion. But apparently,
he came down and bumped him on the head.
You can see that the trees and the branches moving in regular speed behind him. And he's like, no.
Oh, you do know this is on low budget, right?
That is some serious fucking acting.
That's
right
some
there.
That's some melodramatic his ass off right there.
I can go into slow motion at any time. You want slow motion? I'll give you an hour of slow motion. No problem.
Oh, shit.
Oh, apparently they didn't have that kind of technology in 1965. Sometimes you just gotta wing it, I guess. Oh. That's what you do. So that's pretty cool. From there, Jenny's mental state continues to deteriorate. We get a lot of sleepwalking, a lot of waking up in weird places around the house, a lot of sleep talking in which she starts referring to herself as Muriel, and she keeps asking about David. things are getting a little tenuous between Dr. Steven and Solange also, because apparently in this whatever condition Solange is, in she needs constant and fresh blood all the fucking time, and she's starting to get weak because she's not getting any. So I think the original plan was to have Jenny committed, so that would have worked nicely. Dr. Steven calls his doctor friend, his mental psychiatrist friend, Dr. Derek, to come and evaluate Jenny. Now I got
She's on to him.
Well,
she's on him, too, because she refuses that one dose that he tries to give her.
Yeah, and she's kind of... I think she knows, at this point, knew something foul went down with Muriel. And, you know, this Dr. Steven guy isn't exactly what he's saying. Or maybe he has some nefarious other ideas or some shit. But Dr. Derek shows up, and you can tell from the start Jenny wants to fuck Dr. Derek. He's a strapping young man with some Dr. Reed Richards' gray tint around the temples there. So he
flowing mane too.
He did have some serious hair, some hair doage. He shows up and he's kind of he spends a couple nights there at the mansion evaluating Jenny. Basically, he kind of goes a little off the deep end though and starts writing this off to actual paranormal phenomenon instead of Jenny's deteriorating mental state.
Well, he comes across somebody who talks about the actual ghosts in the mansion.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. So he's like, well, I don't think the problem is Jenny. I think the problem is this place. So the original plan was that he was going to take Jenny with him back to, I guess, his hospital or something, but without the actual commitment and thus the transfer of funds. So Steven is like, oh, well, that shit's not going to work. And at this point, Jenny's really losing her shit. She's just constantly seeing the ghost of her sister everywhere, along with this other guy that's got like a gash in his forehead.
Yeah, who was that guy?
That was David.
That was David, right?
Yeah.
He was the one that got hit in the forehead?
He got slapped down.
In the dream scene?
Yeah. He got slapped down once in real time, and then he slow motion took another slap down. So that's pretty gnarly. We get a lot of, I guess they were supposed to be jump scare type of situations where there's one point where she just kind of goes down into the laboratory and nobody can find her and everybody's looking for her all over the place. And then finally they open the laboratory door and she's just kind of standing at the bottom of the stairs staring up at him. Kind of Renfield-esque in Bela Lugosi's Dracula, same kind of a situation there. There's another one that I found particularly humorous where Dr. Steven is kind of just going about his experiments. She comes down to the lab for no reason and slashes him across the face with the scalpel and then kind of acts confused and runs away. That right there ought to be grounds for divorce or at least some kind of, you know, pressing charges or something. This crazy bitch came at me with a knife and yeah, let's get the authorities involved. Regardless, they're all kind of playing to her, you know, playing, trying to, like, they're going to try to help her and get her through this. basically, at this time, under the threat of Derek removing Jenny from the mansion, Steven says, well, all right, you know what, I'll take her out of here. We'll go on a nice vacation. We'll get some fresh air, change of scenery. It'll be awesome.
He's a smooth talker, that one.
Yep. So Derek is like, all right, if that's what you want to do, just as long as you get her out of here and, you know, get her a change of scenery. So Derek takes off, and Solange and Steven are in the process of rounding up all of Jenny's things and getting things packed. And then we get the big reveal that this is when some shit's about to go down. Instead of actually leaving, Steven just lays a nasty backhand on Jenny and knocks her out cold. Takes her down to the lab, starts strapping her into what appears to be like a autopsy table type of situation. But he's got like some gear set up there for what appears to be a blood transfusion. And at this point, Solange is getting really weak and she's kind of staggering around. And I need Jenny's blood. It's got to be Jenny's blood. All right. That's pretty gnarly. Some shit's going down there. It's bad news for Jenny. The good news, though, is that Derek kind of decided to come back because he got a crazy vibe out of this whole situation. So he comes back and he's walking around the mansion looking for him, and there's nobody there because they're all downstairs in the lab. And he remembers something that Jenny said to him earlier in the film regarding the family crest wall plaque thing and how pretty it was or something like that. So he goes up to the wall fucking plaque family crest thing, twists it, opens it, finds Muriel's heart in the weird fish tank thing inside the wall. Okay, that's strange. There's a human heart here. What's it doing inside the wall? And why is it in there? I don't know. About that time, the ghost of David and Muriel actually show up. They manifest in front of Derek there. You know, as far as ghosts go, you could do a lot worse. I mean, you got Muriel, who's got like half her face off, but she's got her hair covered.
She's like Morticia looking, ain't she?
Yeah, a little bit. And then you got David, who just has like some blood trickling down his head.
Back in Notre Dame looking David there.
Well, yeah, he's all roughed up and stuff. Yeah. But you know, that's what you get for a ghost in 1965. So that's pretty gnarly. He kind of, you know, gets kind of scared to death and falls down and hits his head and knocks himself unconscious. And then they kind of fade in and out and then they go down to the lab where there was Jenny and Solange are receiving this blood transfusion, and Dr. the Steven guy is down there too. The ghost of Muriel shows up and starts yelling at Steven. The ghost of David shows up in the transfusion room and just starts ripping things out of Jenny and Solange. Now, Jenny is coming, you know, drifting back into conscious. Solange is actually aging at like a much more rapid pace. So she's going, she's doing like that Indiana Jones thing where she's really young and hot, then she's kind of middle-aged, then she's elderly, then basically she goes all the way until she's just a fucking bare-bones skeleton. That's gnarly.
Is it because the heart was removed or, and it was,
I think,
destroyed it?
I think it was because they removed the transfusion equipment and she was bleeding out.
Did, all right, go ahead.
So from there, we cut back to the struggle between Steven and Muriel. And, you know, she's yelling at him, and you gave me the fucking agony, but the agony turned into ecstasy. And then she whips her hair back, and you see that, like, half of her face is covered in a jello mold. And then she, like, goes in
her
like...
Her laughter
she,
there, too.
And yeah,
she,
she's...
She reveals her face.
Just fucking cackling. Fuck, somebody tickled her funny bone. Then she kind of shoves him into this chair type of thing. Now, earlier in the show, he had the that's the same chair that he used to electrify David and Muriel there. So she throws the switch, electricity starts flowing, and basically Steven bursts into flames. Then we get like a little dialogue about as long as her heart is intact, then she'll never leave the mansion or some shit like that. And that's pretty much a movie. What'd you think of the Nightmare Castle, dudes?
Well, yeah. See, did he? What did he throw in the fire? The fire. What did he throw in the fireplace at the end there?
I assumed it was just her body.
Okay, and then him and Jenny run out. Well, see, he throws the whatever in the fireplace,
right? And he's got
and
the
then
ashes.
those two ghosts disappear, and then Jenny and him run out. And he goes in the pouring rain. He goes, "Don't worry, Jenny.
You're talking
now
about
all
Derek
your nightmares." Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so... Oh.
Don't worry, Jen. Now all your nightmares are over and done with. Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except that... now you're stuck out in the rain with no place to get warm. Oh, that mansion we just ran out of? Yeah, it's about to burn down.
Well, you don't got to worry about a crazy guy trying to kill you, at least.
Well, if the ghost just disappeared, I don't know.
No, I thought you were talking about at the beginning. At when
at
he
the
was...
very end.
Yeah. No, that was Derek. Yeah, I mean...
Where are they going to go?
Well, she's still the heir to a large fortune, right?
But they can't go back in that mansion.
No, but they could...
it's pouring rain. You're going to get sick and die.
Or the rain could put out the mansion, yeah. And then you go back in and sweep up a little bit.
Burnt down mansion, though.
I don't know. Well, I mean, she's still got some dollars, so, you know, maybe they take a nice vacation. That's what I'd do. I got a kill count of 5 on this. That includes the doctor, Solange, David... And Muriel, and then I forgot to mention that they accidentally kill the butler when they're trying to kill Dr. Derek.
Right.
He is trying to get a bath ready for Derek, and they throw the switch on the bathtub and fry the poor butler.
When he's like drilling the hole through the bathroom and setting up wires around the tub, and the other dude in the other room's like looking, wonder what's going on in there. Oh, yep, he's setting up just your normal... Traption around a tub. Don't worry about him.
This is one of those new electric bathtubs. It's very soothing. You're going to love it.
Way with the future.
Stupid.
How many dream scenes were there?
I think like at least 3, right?
I really only caught the one.
I mean, the one that sticks out like, most.
Wait, how many of these are actually dreams?
Is the big slow motion routine, because that was just awesome. No. Stupid. You can clearly see the trees and the branches just flapping at normal speed in the background.
It had a low budget.
It is.
Did I mention that yet?
It had to be, right? I mean, these Italian flicks, they got made for nothing.
Speaking of, the director wanted to highlight the gory scenes with red.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Alas, limited budget.
Couldn't do it.
Yep, even though it was the age of the color televisions.
You couldn't afford red. Maybe you could have got a discount on some green or something, but no red for you, buddy.
Get a redder shade of gray up in that bitch.
That sucks. So that was public domain month, but I tell you what, my friends, since I missed last week, I think I'm going to give you one more week of public domain. What do you think of the public domain there, Multiple Mics?
I love it.
People seem to dig it.
I mean, this one was extremely silly. I'm sure any of the three that I... Did you do any of the three that I...
Let me run you down the list here, shall I?
All right.
What do we got? We got Haunts from 1976. Actually, not a bad show. Does have some weird things going on with a goat.
Okay.
King of the Zombies. Wow!
You've done that one before, no?
No.
Oh, I must. That was, did they start off with a plane in the air?
Yep. Yeah. That's the one.
I don't know where I watched that one from.
And I did another one, too. I don't even remember what it was.
Did you do Vincent Price's The Bat?
No. That's Bela Lugosi, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't know.
The Bat?
The Bat, Vincent Price. There was two other ones that I sent you. I asked if you'd done them yet. Nope, we're doing Nightmare Castle.
Yeah.
It was good for a laugh.
Attack of the Giant Leeches was one of them.
Attack of the Killer Shrews, have we done that one yet?
No.
That's a classic.
Yeah, it is Vincent Price. Yeah, good time. So, I don't know, man. I mean, people seem to dig the public domain. I was thinking perhaps after this year's Terradome, I'll just add on a public domain segment to fill the space there.
Well, it's a nice little break from your, like, you know, Insidiouses and Jigsaws and all that bullshit.
Yeah, but like the days of yore when we tried to do that shock treatment show, and it was just watching bad movie after bad movie after bad movie. Dude, it's almost soul-crushing after a while. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe this is good. Maybe the last show, and then we'll bring it back maybe in a few months.
Well, yeah, not till after the Terradome. All right, we'll check it out. I'll think about it. We'll figure it out. How about a little break, and then we'll come back to you with some other stuff.
Word.
And we're back. I think you know what time it is, dudes. Got to find ourselves a padded room Twitter follow of the week.
Oh, choices.
Fucking, I don't know. There's nobody alive in this movie anymore. Or anybody that would be on Twitter anyway.
Well, we could look at the Terradome stuffs.
Jigsaw. Let's see if... are we following Tobin Bell yet? Let's see if he's on here. Tobin Bell. At official Tobin. It's not verified, though. Yeah, looks like him, I guess. Happy Saturday. Beatles take it to the roof with Billy Preston. This better not be a fake-ass Tobin Bell. Ooh, Lee Winnell. Lee Winnell.
Is that verified?
It is verified.
She's a good one.
At L. Winnell. You are the Padded Room Podcast Twitter Follow of the Week. Let's see what you're up to here. The power of Christ compels you. He's dressed up as a priest. Very nice. Saw. Very cool. Dog just farted, blowing me away. God damn it.
He knows it.
God damn it, Ragnar.
Let's got that look on his face. Yeah, we're talking about you and your stinky
farts.
Your
stinky butt. God.
Oh, it's over here now.
Yep, coming your way. Dude, that's rancid. He's getting old. He's an old timer.
Yeah, we're talking about you.
All right, dudes. What do we got here? How about a little Terra Dome action? Things went down this week, kid. 2 weeks ago, I suppose. Last week, 2 weeks ago, who knows? Things are going down. First, last week's winners. 2 weeks ago's winners. In singles competition, we had the Jigsaw versus the Djinn. The story continues. While the Djinn was capable of defying logic and physics, it had no mind for riddles. With a simple wish of replacing the gemstone to the Ahura Mazda statue, the Djinn found himself re-imprisoned and his magic undone. With a vote of 10-3, Jigsaw advances over the Djinn. Whatever. I mean, if that's what you really think, then I don't agree with it,
but it's a democracy.
Whatever, dude. Nobody listens to me anyway. And in teams competition, we had the infected versus the blind dead. The story continues. The infected hit the galleon like a tidal wave, punching holes in the forward hull and ripping through the ranks of the Templar Knights. Time-eaten and rusted armor couldn't save them from the onslaught and overwhelming numbers of the infected. With a vote of 11-2, the infected advance over the blind dead.
Goddamn right they do. That's how democracy works right there.
I don't see how the blind dead could have pulled it off. No,
but how do they get past gremlins?
Nobody likes the gremlins.
Okay.
I think is what the main thing it boils down to.
Nobody got the gremlins wet?
No, nope. Just, no, nobody likes the gremlins. What are the gremlins going to do? They shoot old ladies out of windows. That's it. That's all you got. And that wasn't even malicious. That was just cheeky fun, right? And old lady happened to get shot out of a window. All right, let's get into this week's matchups. We are in the Asylum Conference, round 20. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I am not a writer. The package arrived at the Strode residence a week before Halloween. It was heavy and awkward and was postmarked from Black Rock, Ireland. Mr. and Mrs. Strode waited nervously for Lori to get home from school, wondering if the package would contain some revelation of the secret they'd been keeping from her. When she arrived and opened the package, the evidence was damning. A letter explaining that she was actually born Lori Myers, little sister to infamous Haddonfield madman Michael Myers, and that she was the heir to a sizable pot of gold doubloons handed down from generation to generation on the Irish side of the Myers clan. Soon thereafter, the nightmare started. A short man in a green suit with a heavy accent screaming about gold. She was barely sleeping at all at night. Then bad went to worse. News from Haddonfield Psychiatric that Michael Myers had escaped. In singles competition, we have the Leprechaun versus Michael Myers. I don't know why we're even still talking about the Leprechaun, you sons of bitches. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
You got to go with Michael Myers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, an argument could be made that the Leprechaun is magic, and he can do some shit.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into the whole Djinn Jigsaw thing again with the Leprechauns.
Let's bring it all the way around. I'm taking Michael Myers. Multiple Mike says Michael Myers. That's where that's at. Swing it on over to the teams competition. The prophecy had come to fruition. Men had come with guns and torches and hatred in their hearts. They had killed off great numbers of the tribe and burned Midian to the ground. Most of the surviving breed followed Boone, now called Cabal, and Lori south to the United States. Others followed Palanquin and the Berserkers north to the frozen wastes. While Palanquin's group struggled to survive, Boone's group flourished in the wilds of West Virginia. Deep in the forests where the sunlight couldn't reach them and men would never venture. Then Baphomet's second prophecy came to fruition, Midian reborn, an old cave system long forgotten by the minds of men, a new home for the night breed, but first a second war. The cave's current inhabitants either had to take the blood of Baphomet, be destroyed, or exiled. The breed had another fight coming. In teams competition, we have the Descent Cave Dwellers versus the Night Breed. Mm-hmm. I, for one, am taking the breed on this one.
Of course you are.
Because they are a cornucopia of monsters. You got different guys doing different things. Some of them shapeshift. Some of them can fly. Some of them can do other monstrous things.
But can they navigate themselves in the darkness of caves?
I believe they can. Necropolis. Midian is a necropolis. It's underground. I'm taking the breed. Well, say you, multiple mics.
You make a good point. I still say cavers, though.
They got the home field advantage.
In the necropolis, you still got the lights and stuff
there
like
was tor-
that.
So, yeah, there so was all torches. Those
guys are
going
to be used to their light, but the cave dwellers. They're looking for the blood thing. Cave dwellers just will sense that out in a heartbeat.
Yeah. So there's that. That makes...
Did you get my phone?
Yeah. I got you down for the cave dwellers, even though you're wrong. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the week, my friends. In singles competition, we have the Leprechaun versus Michael Myers. In teams, we have the Nightbreed versus the Cave Dwellers. Get us your votes by next week if you can. As usual, the Mental Health Hotline is 206-309-9117. Or you can email us at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Or you can tweet me your votes if you want, but you got to follow me first. At PaddedRoomPod is the way to go there. And that is the Terror Dome. Let's get into a little, what are you looking at? I got a lot of, I got 2 weeks worth of fucking movies to talk about, so get ready for this.
Yeah, I got like 4 months of movies to talk about, but.
You don't remember them all.
What are you looking at?
What do we got? How about Bordello Death Tales from 2009?
Sounds sultry.
Yeah, there's some TNA in there. I mean, it's an anthology piece set around a bordello. So pretty much every one of the stories in there involves a dead hooker. So you got to really be into the dead hooker thing if you want to get into that. Haunter from 2013. I really wanted to like this movie just because everybody else hates it. Turns out I hate it too. Abigail Breslin as a ghost, and you find out like in the first 10 minutes that she's a ghost. Mm. So after that, it's just nonsense, and there's like a lot of time jumping and crap like that. 13 Eerie from 2013, starring Catherine Isabel. Forensic students go to what is supposed to be a body farm for training, you know, in different anthropomorphics. Study of dead bodies. You know, they got dead bodies thrown all about, and they have to go out and look at them and poke and prod at them, find out why they're dead and how they got there, all that shit. About halfway through, the dead bodies start coming back to life. Here's a problem I have with this movie. Every zombie in this movie looks just like the Toxic Avenger.
Nice.
I think they got a deal on some Toxic Avenger masks, and that's what they put on the zombies. So one of them is like a petite young lady, but she's got like the big hulking head with an eye up here and an eye down there.
Right.
They all look like the Toxic Avenger. Get out of here. It's Bush League, bro.
JV all day.
Horns from 2013. Now, this is a bad motherfucker right here.
Yeah, I fucking hate you.
If you read the book, this isn't even out in theaters yet, but I know a guy who knows a guy who does some swashbuckling.
Read the fucking book before it comes out in the theaters, folks.
Pretty good shit. It's nuts onto the book, pretty much. Daniel Radcliffe gets hammered, wakes up, has a pair of horns growing out of his head. Horns make people tell him exactly what they're thinking, which leads to some very bizarro situations. Mm-hmm. There's a subplot involving a murder, of course, and things get really fucked up. Great show, adapted from the Joe Hill book. Joe Hill, of course, is Stephen King's son. Great fucking show. I think you're going to like that one a lot if you get a chance to check it out. The Purge Anarchy. Have we all seen this one already?
Wish I didn't.
What's that supposed to mean? It's a good show.
Yeah, it was okay.
What is your problem with The Purge?
Well, what are they doing to, like, the next one? The Purge Worldwide?
I don't know what they're doing. I know it's already been greenlit, the annual Purge.
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking, like, we'll have to see, like, clips from all over the world. Or how would they
go to the next one? I think America's the only one doing The Purge. I think probably the next one is going to focus more on that resistance movement.
It was pretty cool when they got trapped into that little that like holding cell.
Yeah, looked like American gladiators in there.
Yeah, right.
The only problem I have with that is that this group is extremely anti-purge, but then to fight the purge, as soon as the purge starts, they go out and kill a bunch of people. Yeah. So essentially, they're purging too. So really, you're just all right. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it or something.
A lot, it got very political.
It did. I mean,
the first one's obviously political with the way it starts. With the,
well, yeah.
And then behind the national anthem theme or whatever.
Yeah.
It was fun for the most part.
I liked it. I'm a big Purge guy now. I think it's good stuff. The Devil's Chair from 2007. You know, it's got the guy from I Spit on Your Grave in it, and he's like a psychopath. It's all right, but what you do is you get like this long drawn out storyline. It's one of those Fight Club type of deals where, you know, you think all this crazy shit is going on, and then at the very end you find out that it's all in his head and he's actually a psycho and he's killing everybody. Spoiler alert on that one.
When done right, those can be done well.
Yeah, but in this particular case, you can see it coming a mile away. And that's the worst, right? When they're not very smart about it.
There was one with John Cusack where they're
Identity.
All, yeah, I like that one.
That's a good one too. Splinter from 2008. This one's actually a pretty good show. You got the kid from Road Trip, and him and his girlfriend get kidnapped by a meth head, and then they get caught in this with this weird virus that kind of turns you into a Lovecraftian type of a guy, where you're just like killing people and absorbing them. So towards the end, you have like this Dunwich horror type of thing that's, you know, just walking around jacking people, and it's like an amalgamation of, like,
you had me at Lovecraftian, you lost me at Dunwich Horror.
Well, if you read the book, then you would know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But it's like just this big lump of people, pretty much. And it's trying to get into this. In the end, the meth head and the kids have to, like, work together, and they get into this gas station and barricade themselves in. And it's a pretty good show. I'm going to say check that one out. Splinter from 2008. Multiple Mics, what are you looking at?
Oh, I went to the library again.
Hmm.
I figure Caleb's old enough to, you know, watch a horror movie. My mom sent me down there looking for, like, a cheesy cartoon one.
Yeah?
They don't have them, like, separated into PG ones. So I just had to go through, like, every letter looking for...
Well, don't they have a cartoon section?
I don't know. I was short on time.
Okay.
Long story short...
Okay, give it to me.
I found the first sequel to Godzilla. What? Godzilla Raids Again.
Alrighty.
Featuring the illustrious voice actings of George Takei.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? Right? And so Godzilla fights Aguirus in this one. And Caleb loved it.
He fights, you know, who?
He was Aguirus. He's like a little, not stegosaur, but ankylosaur kind of looking dude on four legs. Has like a log tail, spikes. Ever seen that one?
That's the stegosaur, isn't it? Stegosaurus? He's got the plates coming out of his back?
No. No plates.
But he still has a spiky tail.
Spiky, like long tail.
Right.
I don't know how spiky the tail was. But spiky, you know what an ankylosaurus is?
No.
It's like a turtle. I don't. It's like a turtle.
Okay.
Right? With spikes coming out of its
shell?
Shell.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you seen that dinosaur?
No.
Big into dinosaurs these days with the kitty.
Okay.
Right? So Godzilla fights the Gears.
Alrighty. Good to know.
Black and white, I love it.
Yeah.
Once again, Godzilla goes on Mount Kilmore.
Bah. Bah. I say feh.
But no, we got into the extra scenes of watching the dude in the suit. That was good for Caleb, seeing how it was all fake and stuff like that.
Right on.
And so my mom and I were laughing at one point. You could tell the takes were fake little cars.
Yeah. That's the biggest turnoff for me about Godzilla. You know what I mean? I mean,
that's why I like this new one
so much. I like the new one, yeah. But everybody gets all nostalgic with the old one. I'm like, this is fucking stupid. It's a guy jumping up and down on a model train set. Get out of here. Oh, you mean
it's a suspension of belief?
Well, it's kind of hard to suspend it when you're looking at the little Hot Wheels logo on the cars as they go by.
What I love is when the actors are saying something and they keep talking.
Yeah.
They're not saying anything else.
Yeah. Beautiful. See, or the best is when they're running away, but they're all running in opposite directions. Are you all lost? You see which way he's coming. You want to go the opposite way. So let's get on the same page here, people.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Very cool. Anything else, man?
Yeah, I tried to watch Ouija at the theaters the other day.
I heard nothing good.
No.
I heard nothing good at all.
Nothing good.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to stay the whole way through, but
You walked out? I was falling
asleep once. And two, I had to fucking finish some philosophy paper that I was working on.
Dude, I can't walk out on a movie that I paid $18
it's hard
to
for
see.
Me too. Yeah. It's hard for me too.
I've caught in a nap in a few movies. You know,
and that I hate that more.
Yeah.
When I fall asleep and I miss the fucking movie, it's like, well, I might as well have just gone home.
I don't mind sleeping in a theater. I mean, these days with the theaters we got, they got the heated recliners and the vibrating shit. How can you not?
It wasn't at anything nice like that.
Oh, I was gonna say, how can you not fall asleep?
I love the Ouija board, the whole mythos around it.
Right.
Fucking hated how they did it.
Is it really what's the is it just not scary? Or the acting? Well, bad,
they had some nice little like
jump scares,
yeah.
I hate that shit. That is such a cop out.
So like these two girls are playing with the Ouija board.
Right.
Fast forward to when they're in high school. And
you're losing me. You're already
exactly.
Losing
one
me.
Of the girls play with it. The thing that kept me there was the way the first kill like happened. The Ouija board like made her fucking hang herself in the middle of her house. So that was pretty cool. But
all right.
I don't know.
Anything else, man? Noteworthy.
No.
All right. Let's move it into some immersion therapy.
Immersion therapy.
All right, so tell me if this is something that sounds like you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
You got a young lady wakes up in a hospital, badly disfigured, burn scarring. Also, amnesia, doesn't remember who the fuck she is or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Reconstructive surgery, she's getting up and moving around, looking good. Find out she's the heir to a large fortune. And the reason she has amnesia and she's disfigured is because there was an accident at one of the mansions and her best friend were blown up. Now, her best friend didn't survive, only she did. As the movie goes on, we start to learn that maybe she is not the heir to this fortune. Maybe she is the best friend, actually. We get some nefarious characters involved and we can't figure out who this bitch actually is until the very end. Are you interested in that?
When does she start getting tortured?
She's no torture.
I thought it was called Torture Cinderella.
Trap for Cinderella.
Oh.
I'll tell you the truth.
I need to focus more on names. Huh?
There's no traps in it either. So
no traps in it?
Nope. And Cinderella's not in it.
Is she trapped in any way? Well, she's amnesia.
Yeah, trapped
so
in
that's
amnesia.
Trapped in her own fucking head with that amnesia.
I guess so. Does that sound like something you're interested
in? It does.
It's not a bad show. It's a little slow, and you really got to be into the intrigue and the who's playing who against who type of shit. Cause
does she have to get like back to her house before the fucking carriage turns back into pumpkin?
There is no pumpkin.
Is it Cinderella?
There is no Cinderella.
Trapped what?
What are you talking about?
What was the name of the...
The name of the film is Trap for Cinderella.
Okay.
Is there a pumpkin? No. Is there a carriage? Not that I recall.
Is her name Cinderella?
No.
It's a dumb name.
I'm assuming there's some metaphor in there that means something. I don't know.
Yeah, trying to figure it out.
I say it's not a bad show, but again, I'm with Kreese. I wouldn't call it a horror film. It's more like a fucking... Plenty of TNA in it. I'll give you that. if you like European chicks. So you got that going for you. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be The Taking of Deborah Logan from 2014, starring
I keep seeing this on Netflix.
Jill Larson and Anne Ramsey, directed by Adam Robitel. Something to do with possession, right? This chick is possessed.
Yeah, she's creepy as fuck looking.
Yeah, freaks right out.
And I may give it a watch.
I'm going to check it out. If you get a chance, check it out. Get with us next week, and we'll compare notes, dudes. About a little Company of Wolves action.
Ow!
We'll talk about this fucking Spartan race crap.
The Company of Wolves.
Booyah. I got a word of advice for you people out there. You're going to find some Spartan races in your area. You're going to see that there's two in a given weekend. You're going to be tempted to do them both. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to do it, dude. Oh, fuck me.
Not unless you're Spartan trained. You are Spartan trained.
Dude, even if you are.
How many Tough Mudders have you done?
Two.
That's Spartan trained.
You don't want to do it, man. That's one.
That's a lot of running around for sure.
It is, and you need time to recover because doing one Spartan race will drag you through the fucking mud, and it will suck all the moisture out of your body, and you will be dehydrated, and you'll be running a fever at the end of the day, and you'll probably have a good collection of scabs and scars and maybe a separated muscle or perhaps some bruised ribs or a nice heat rash right on your taint. Either way, dude, you're not going to want to go back for the second day. I'm telling you right now. And unless you're like me and you let your wife shame you into doing it.
Is that what made you do it?
That's exactly what made me do it. What happened was her sister and my brother-in-law got on the same page. And then she waited until our whole family were here for that wedding. And then she asked me about it every 15 minutes. And I kept saying, no, I got a super secret project to do. And then after like day three of her asking me about it in front of her family, I'm like, all right, fuck, I'll do it. And that's how it went down. And now, good news, I don't need surgery or anything. I just got some bruised ribs. I've had those before. They're very painful, but they do kind of take care of themselves. So if you're thinking about doing back-to-back Spartan races, don't do it because you're not going to like it, and it increases the chance of injury. That being said, we've been issued a Spartan challenge. If anybody's interested in trying this shit, what we're going for is 700 sit-ups in 1 week, effective immediately. I'll be posting my progress on the Werewolf page if anybody's interested. Are you?
That's not hard.
Are you accepting this challenge?
100 a day, fuck.
For 7 days? I could do more than that. I could probably.
All you gotta do is 700? All right.
Yeah, you in?
Yeah.
Are you going to lie about it?
How are you going to know? Are you going to fucking film me doing it?
I feel like I probably should. I want some film of you.
I'm doing the sit-ups while I'm shaking weight.
I was going to say, I want you doing the sit-ups with a cigarette in your mouth.
I'll do it.
Let's do it. 700 sit-ups in 1 week. I think it can be done. I'm going to do it. If you feel like doing it, feel free to join us. Mike, you got anything on a Company of Wolves action?
I will drop and do 10 right now just so I only have 690 at the door.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
Fuck it.
Let's do it.
I got my t-shirt, right?
You got what t-shirt?
I finally got my wolf shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got your wolf werewolf.
Ow, ow, motherfucker.
10 sit-ups. Real ones. One. You're looking good. Two.
Shut the fuck
three.
Looking.
Four.
Ring.
Four.
Ring is just a liquor.
Four.
Six.
Seven.
Ring.
Eight. Keep going. You look good. Nine. There we go. Home stretch. 10. Big banging.
I did.
Big balling.
Got 690 to go.
This guy's all over the place. 690 more for you, buddy. You're already off.
My car.
You're already off to a good lead. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's going to be a week for us. for the Padded Room Podcast. My name is Darian. That's multiple mics. But for right now, I'm afraid visiting hours are over. Saturdays.